Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, April 28th, 2025. I'm Paul Gallant and this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Lots of stuff to dive into this afternoon. We'll take a look at what the Houston Texans did over the weekend in the NFL draft. They went for familiarity over anything. We'll talk a little bit about the Astros, who lost 2 of 3 to the Kansas City Royals. No offense at all Friday, Saturday, but you got 7 runs yesterday. You also got another vintage Hunter Brown performance, who may have just locked up American League Pitcher of the Month, and all of a sudden might be a front runner for Cy Young in the American League. But we got to begin by talking about something that happened on Saturday. Before we talk about what happened Saturday, I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit. Because you know what I did? I did my duty. I did my job. This morning, I had the honor of being selected for jury duty. Now, was I selected after being selected? No. But I showed up downtown Houston, went through security, sat in a chair for a few hours with the hope that I could perhaps be an important part in a case. Would I sit on the jury and be the one person who sees reason? Would I sit on this jury and, like everybody else, see things the same way? It doesn't matter. All you need to know is this. I did my job this morning as an American citizen, as a proud citizen of the city of Houston. You know who didn't do their jobs on Saturday? The Houston Rockets. If you've watched Glengarry Glen Ross, the movie, the play, there is that scene at the very beginning of the movie where Alec Baldwin comes in and starts lighting all these salespeople up, saying coffee can only be had by closers. The Rockets don't have one, and it's glaringly obvious at this moment in time. And I think we had a general idea that this was going to be what ultimately does them in these playoffs. But to not have a closer is one thing. To blow it against a team that you clearly have the advantage in against, in at least this one game, completely unacceptable. And if you want to bring back the Choke City headlines, you can for what happened on Saturday. Because, I mean, go watch that game back. The Rockets, against the Warriors, had a 13-point lead in this game. A Warriors team that did not have Jimmy Butler. They held Steph Curry to 2 points in the first quarter. They held him to just 1-3 in the first half. And with no Jimmy Butler to help Steph Curry out, I don't know how you leave a game where you're up 13 with an L. But that's what the Rockets did. And down the stretch against Golden State on Saturday night, I mean, what a pathetic offensive performance. And I understand that this is a team that does not have the guy, right? They got a lot of depth. They don't have a Steph Curry. They don't have a Jimmy Butler. But everyone blew it. It was a team effort in this collapse. Amen Thompson was 5 of 16 from the field. How many bunnies did he miss? I lost count. Alperen Şengün, 7 of 18 from the field.
We're not talking about threes. We are talking about very makeable shots close to the basket. And then you got your routine Fred VanVleet 5 for 14 performance. Hey, at the very least, he hit 3 3-pointers. Early on in the game, at least, he looked good. Jalen Green follows up a 38-point performance with a 9-point night, and he only took 11 shots in the game. Where was the confidence that we saw in game two? What the hell happened? Your balls fall off? I mean, what happened in this game? And I understand, hey, he was making the right pass and guys weren't hitting open shots, but Saturday was just such an unacceptable loss. The Warriors deserve respect for everything that they have done. But this is not the Warriors team of old. And, okay, Steph Curry's going to get 38, 36, whatever the hell he got, right? But you're losing a game not just because of what Steph did. Steph was going to get his. You lost because Buddy Hield and Gary Payton came off the bench, and they did more than any of your best players could. On a championship-level team, do Hield, do Payton even get minutes? And okay, yeah, you're going to let them take shots. You're going to collapse on Steph. You're going to force him to throw the ball to anybody but himself. And those guys do have to hit shots. But how the hell are Buddy Hield and Gary Payton making shots when no Rocket could make any? So then you take a look at all the other series that are going down. You might be watching Milwaukee's series against the Indiana Pacers, where Damian Lillard tears his Achilles. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's getting out of there. Is that somebody that the Rockets are going to be targeting? I know there are some who would say,
well, actually, take a look at what Giannis has done outside of the bubble. And, you know, he doesn't really go that far with the Bucks in the playoffs. Sure,
granted. All I'm saying is guys like Giannis Antetokounmpo and guys like Kevin Durant and guys like Devin Booker and, hell, Zion Williamson, ew. These are the people that we are now looking at because, once again, Jalen Green went back to being the bad version of Jalen Green in terms of not being decisive, not attacking, not being confident. And you got a team around Jalen Green and Amen Thompson and Alperen Şengün that can't hit open shots. So now, I mean, we all know how this thing's going to end. And now the real question is, how far away is the end? Are we talking about two more games? Is this thing going to be done in five? Because that's ultimately what I'm looking at right now. I feel like we have enough of a sample size. You have game two where the Warriors lose Jimmy Butler and they're operating basically as if they've just been decapitated for the entirety of the game. But the Rockets, I mean, did they really pull away in that one? And I know they won it by 15, but it felt like they could have been winning that by 30, by 40. They never were. And then game one, game three, it's just gross on offense. And it's early. And, you know, if you want to pat them on the head and say, oh, it's been such a fun year, and they're the two seed, fine. But I don't want to do that. Yeah, outmanned Golden State on Saturday in terms of what you had available, and you lost. Unacceptable. You got Ime Udoka chirping with Steph Curry. How did that go? How did that age? And then after the game, this is honestly what annoyed me the most. Jalen Green's asked about a little back and forth that he had with Draymond Green towards the very end. And we all know that Draymond Green likes to talk. But when you lose a game by 11 points where your entire offense looked like ass down the stretch, if you're Jalen Green, can you actually say this? Here's Jalen Green after the game when asked about that back and forth with Draymond.
Steph had a good game. The reason they won. It was just talking. You know, he can't really do much of anything else, so talking is the only way.
Well, what were you doing, Jalen? He can't do much of anything else. What were you doing? You weren't doing what you did in game two. That comment annoyed the hell out of me after the game. And look, you got to regroup. 7-game series. This thing ain't over. I still think it's going to 7, but I don't feel good about the Rockets winning it anymore. And to have a line like that, Jalen, you sucked on Saturday. Point blank. And you weren't the only one who did it. This was a team choke job. Dylan Brooks getting all those fouls. Fouls out with 4 minutes to go. Alperen Şengün can't make buckets right underneath the basket. Amen Thompson can't make buckets right underneath the basket. Fred VanVleet, at least he wasn't 1-for-14 over the course of the game, but he's not hitting shots. And now you're at the point where you're wondering, do we have to play Cam Whitmore? Do we have to play Reed Sheppard? Do we have to put guys out there that actually could potentially score? They went away from being big. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened to the Steven Adams and Alperen Şengün look. We really haven't seen that either of the last two games. You're honestly not seeing enough Jabari Smith out on the court. You're playing eight guys, and of all the guys out there on Saturday, like, who would you look at and say, good job, kid? It's probably just Jabari. You need a closer. And I imagine this entire offseason is going to be us window shopping for starters who can actually put up points when they need to. I get that Jalen Green did it in game two. But these disappearing acts happen far too often. And if he's your biggest chip to potentially get yourself that closer, like, he's going to be the first one out the door. I'm pissed about Saturday. I think you should be too. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Yes, the Texans had a draft. And yes, the Astros play the series over the weekend against the Royals. But this is really what I'm most interested in with game four of this series later on tonight. 9 p.m. Ill. I had to get up early and do jury duty. Now I got to watch this game at 9 p.m. Cater to these West Coasters. Ugh. The Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
ESPN 975.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Ugly ass loss by the Rockets Saturday night. Game four, a chance at redemption tonight in San Francisco. Tip off 9 p.m. Central Time. Bouncing back from that 104-93 loss, it's going to be tough. This was a demoralizing one. You play against a team that is without Jimmy Butler, and you have a 13-point lead in that game, and you blow it. And down the stretch, I mean, the offense, the last 4-5 minutes, that was tough to watch. I'm thankful that I was just watching it on a cell phone. That's what I'm thankful about. Because at the very least, I could put the phone down and hide it. That was a frustrating one. And I am skeptical they're going to bounce back from something like this. After the game, Ime Udoka had some thoughts on the struggles offensively. Here's what he had to say about the Rockets' complete inability to make a basket the last few minutes of the game.
Yeah, they upped their physicality on defense. And then when we did have the good looks, like I said, we missed a lot of point blank stuff at the basket, you know, little floaters and you know, some layups. And so, you know, they did what they did all game. We did what we did all game. And Peyton and some of their guys rolling out made plays, and we didn't.
Peyton and Hield stepping up helped. But, I mean, geez, you got better players than they do. If they have Jimmy Butler, from a talent perspective, you could argue they've got more than the Rockets. If they don't have Jimmy Butler, it's not even a debate. Not even a debate. And still last Saturday night happened the way that it did. Some comments. All the Rockets have to do is make 75% of their layups. They're missing. We're crashing the boards, and we still can't put up a decent layup. It's weird. It's like a bunch of Angel Reese's. And you're not getting all of the rebounds, but you're still getting a pretty good amount of them. The second chance points are still coming. At least opportunities to get them. But, I mean, if you're just missing easy shots, which has been an issue for, at the very least, Alperen Şengün for a lot of the year, when are you going to start making them? I mean, credit the Warriors' defense to a degree, but... You're NBA pros. Make a shot, dog. More comments. That game looked like a bunch of high school kids. Sloppy. Yep. And another text says, Draymond Green is better than all the Rockets combined, I guess. Good God. Ugh. Anyway, so you got that. Here's Fred VanVleet, the leader of the Houston Rockets, I guess, talking about missing an opportunity to get a win here on Saturday night with Jimmy Butler out.
This is an experienced group that they have. It's been a good team for the second half of the year. And we knew that they were going to respond with the guy out as any good team will. There's no scrubs in the playoffs right now. So, yes, it's definitely a missed opportunity. But, you know, we can't really have that viewpoint. It's got to bounce back and get ready for Monday.
Yeah, I don't know how they bounce back. I don't know how you put this one behind you. This young team with an opportunity like that and Jimmy Butler potentially back out there now. I mean, yeah, Fred's right to a degree. There ain't no scrubs. But there are teams who are worse than the teams that they normally are when they're injured. I mean, it's just obvious. And I'm not accepting that.
Oh, it's the playoffs. Everyone who makes it to this time of year is a really good team.
F off with that. You had the edge. You blew it. And now we got to wonder about whether or not the Rockets have to undergo another transformation this offseason. More from Fred VanVleet after the game. He said that the Rockets always bounce back.
That's what we always do. As you check the track record, we bounce back every time. A little hard-headed, a little young at times. So sometimes you got to bump your head. But I've loved our resolve. I've loved, you know, our togetherness and our commitment to being great. And no matter if we stumble or make mistakes or you know, miss an opportunity as we did today, we have a short-term memory. That's where the youth comes into play at, to just move on and get to the next game. And I believe in this team wholeheartedly that we'll be ready to go on Monday, lace them up, and try to get this one.
I don't believe him. I want to believe him, but I don't believe him. I don't think any Rockets fan should believe him. Golden opportunity Saturday night, and you're not going up against one of the best teams in the Western Conference playoffs. You're not. You're going up against a team that has been around for a very long period of time, but is clearly towards the end. They're getting closer and closer to the nursing home. And yet, here they are running circles around you. Like they're getting up at 4 a.m. to go to some sort of, you know, older folks. What's it called? What's that place? Is it Luby's? Is Luby's the place that generally older people go to?
That's the place that my grandma would take me.
So right.
I assume. Yeah.
Getting up at 4 in the morning.
They had an early bird special.
Yeah.
If you like had dinner before 5, it was half off or something.
The Warriors treated the Rockets, Sean, like an early bird special. You know, they, and again, was it always consistent from Golden State? No, but I mean, they know what they're doing out there, and the Rockets, like, they're just fumbling their food all over themselves. The fact that they're missing all these easy layups, like, it would be one thing if they're missing the threes. I get it. They're not a great 3-point shooting team. I just don't see how you can continuously miss these.
Yeah, and on one hand, that's, like, a good thing. Like, well, if you just had, like, a normal layup game, like, you probably win. Like, if you just shot normally at shooting layups.
But isn't this, at this point, Sean, who they are? I mean, I feel like we've seen a lot of this in this series, and we've seen a lot of it, weirdly, from Şengün all year long, where the easy ones are weirdly not easy for him.
Yeah, for Şengün, that's, like, a thing. But, like, Amin Thompson.
Thompson,
like,
there's no extra.
Yeah, I mean, Thompson, it's a little bit of just like, hey, for this dude's first year in the playoffs. He's also a weird, like, a weird player with weird limitations. So he does have to, like, figure things out in the playoffs to a different degree to, like, not get played off the court, essentially. Like, he can't just stand at the three-point line because the Warriors will just let him take every – they just will not guard him. Like, the Clippers not guarding Russell Westbrook in game 1 and 2 of that series. So you got to figure he has to kind of just figure out a way to be useful on offense to not get played off the court. And so I thought he was getting like pretty decent look. Not all of them, because they're all paint shots for the most part. Like, yeah, he doesn't really take not paint shots, which good for you. But the looks were, you know, overall decent. Just no one had proper touch on any shot, it felt like. They were just kind of volleyballing the shot. You know, they would get an offensive rebound and just volleyball it back up.
Yeah.
So it is like, I mean, also, like, when the Rockets lose, it always looks ugly. Like, just
true.
All 30 of their losses, there wasn't one.
That's a spin zone.
Yeah. No, because we did this the entire offseason, right, or the entire season.
Yeah.
Where it's just like every time we lose, they're like, man, how did they ever score? But they're leading this game with 6 minutes left. Like, they had a lead late in this game.
But with Butler out, it just feels different. You're right in that this is how when they lose, it's always this ugly, but it shouldn't have happened. Like, you still shouldn't have lost. Like, Buddy Hield and what's his face? Gary Payton Jr.
It was the role players for the Warriors are what beat you.
Right.
You want Gary Payton shooting an open jump shot. Like, that's just what you want when you're playing the Warriors.
But the sad thing is, open jump shot for Gary Payton is more of a high probability event than the Rockets hitting a layup.
On Saturday, I mean, yeah, on Saturday, it was probably close.
That's not good. Which, again, as someone pointed out on the text line, this texter wants a little bit of positivity. Paul, can I get some positivity? Damn. Win tonight, it's 2-2 with home court. Save all this for tomorrow's show if they lose. I'm not giving positivity for Saturday. Golden opportunity, they puked it all over themselves. I had a buddy this weekend. This buddy, he served himself quite a bit. Okay? He served himself quite a bit. Stop number one as we were hanging out and having ourselves a good old time. Stop number one, spills a drink all over himself. Subtle. It was very subtle. Almost no one saw it except for me because I was sitting next to him. Two, go into another place. Falls down the stairs. Whoops. While he falls down the stairs, he cracked a glass. Third place he goes to, drops a glass. You can't keep on doing that over and over again and expect to win. And you can't expect me to be positive about your ability to finish it. I can't. So I hope things change tonight. But I feel right now that for this young basketball team to have lost in the choky, catastrophic way that they lost, where they had that late lead that John just laid out, to lose like that, I don't see them shaking this off. If they can, they do deserve credit.
Well, what also helps is that they played Saturday. They'll play tonight. That we are getting to the point of, like,
one less day to stew in it?
And one less day of icing your knees if you're one of the 35-year-olds on the Golden State Warriors.
That's true. Good point.
Like, this is where they need to really, like, leverage their advantage. Like, that, like you said, the Butler injury last game, that's the one that you, like, kind of have to get because – I don't know if he plays tonight. You did give him, whatever, an extra 2 days to get ready. But also, if you're the Warriors, you're like, well, we're already up 2-1. Like, we're not desperate. If they're desperate, he probably definitely plays tonight. You know, like, if the result was flipped and the Rockets were up two games to one in the series, like, Butler's definitely playing because you kind of have to go all in on this. Like, we saw the Lakers, like we saw the Nuggets do this weekend where they had their best players on the court the entire time.
Right.
Because they thought, and they're right, if we lose this game, we're screwed.
Yep.
And it worked out for the Nuggets, didn't work out for the Lakers. That's the situation that the Rockets probably have to be in, where I'm not sure if we can get a terrible Jalen Green performance and just be like, hey, listen, we just got to ride it out for 36 minutes. Like, and it's not just Jalen, it's also Fred VanVleet. We saw it a little bit last game, very minor, with Dylan Brooks playing in foul trouble for so long. And then when he does eventually foul out, it's not Tari Eason that comes in. It's Jabari Smith Jr. that comes in. Because, hey, Jabari Smith Jr. has been the best Rocket. Or he's been the most consistent Rocket this season. Or this series.
This series, for sure.
Where, hey, you know that you're getting at least a decent shot with Jabari Smith. He's going to put pressure on the Warriors' defense where, you know, Jalen Green was kind of schemed out of the game. Now, I would raise my hand and go, well, you know, if your best player can get schemed out of the game, maybe he's not that good.
Yep.
Like, hey, the Rockets are trying to scheme Steph Curry out of the game, too.
Yep. And he still was able to get him.
Watch any of these. The Lakers are trying to scheme Anthony Edwards out of the game. Like, that's what happens.
I almost wish that Jalen Green went down swinging on Saturday night as opposed to a 4-for-11 performance where you barely notice that he's out there, even though he's the one that's basically having the offense go through him. You need to have that confidence that he had in game two. He was so confident in that game. I know it's still there in him. I don't know what it was in game three where it felt like he was a little bit more passive. And listen, he's got to realize that he can't be that here, especially like if he wants to end up being in Houston going forward. No, you got to be aggressive, bud. And I'd also say to what you were saying about Jabari Smith, a side note, I think it might be time to put Smith in the starting lineup. Thompson has just not been Thompson this series. He is, I just think right at this moment in time, it's too much for him. He's missing layups. He's making dumb fouls happen. I mean, you know, start to finish, I think it's just been a lot of struggles for him, and no one has looked younger in this series than Thompson has.
Yeah, and he's like, their plan is like, if it's not Fred VanVleet, it's Amin Thompson guarding Steph Curry, which is like, you're just putting so much on this guy's plate to have to,
even
to,
if
have
he's 37.
To deal with. Yeah, and so I think that at the very least, Jabari Smith needs to be up there with, like, you know, the highest minutes on the team.
I agree, yeah.
Like,
can't be 28 anymore.
Even, like, because starting versus not starting, like, that's not a huge deal to me. It's just who's playing the most of these minutes. So I think that Jabari definitely needs to be at 35 plus. I think Dylan Brooks, just as much as possible, you can play him because he's the best shooter on the team. Somehow he's the best shooter on the team, and he's also one of the better defenders on the team. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, and Adams and Şengün, those guys should play a lot together at least. And then all the other guys, like the Amin Thompsons, and I'm even throwing in VanVleet and Green, although I know they'll probably still play a lot, mostly because there's no one to replace them. Tari Eason, like those guys, to me, it's just whoever, you're just riding the hot hand of who seems ready for it on any given night for the rest of the series.
Sean Mabes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You want to weigh in on the Rockets game three loss on Saturday, and what you think their chances are for tonight's game number four at 9 p.m. tip-off. Texans made a bunch of draft picks over the weekend. The Astros lost 2-3 to the Royals, but Hunter Brown looking fantastic. If you want to weigh in on those topics as well, stick around. It is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN Houston.
ESPN 97.5. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Bad vibes from everybody weighing in on the Houston Rockets. Veggie Delight on YouTube at ESPN Houston says, Rockets are cooked. Eric the Driver on the text line says, series is over. They gave up. Also have this from Twitch. Mo City James. Alperen Şengün is the worst shooter in the NBA within 2 feet of the basket. He's a ballerina until he gets close to it. Is he the worst? I don't know. Is he surprisingly bad considering his very diverse set of skills? Yeah. It's a weird missing trait.
And it's one that he was good at.
Last year. And this year.
2 years ago. Like, it's like his... his advancement on defense just, like, came at the expense. Like, he just had a certain amount of skill to put on a basketball court, and he just, like, well, what if I just take it from here and put it here?
Right.
I will not play if I do not play defense, so.
Are his legs gone relative to where they were before because he's putting in more effort defensively, and that is perhaps making it so that jumps, follow-throughs for these shots aren't 100% there. It's one of those things where I really want to figure it out. It doesn't make any sense because, as you pointed out, Sean, this is a guy who the first couple of years in the league was very good at this, and this year it has changed. Why has it changed? Yeah. There's no logical explanation for it. It's because he's a big guy, too. It's not like a smaller player that's maybe getting outbodied underneath the hoop. No.
No, it's just like the little – and he does a lot of like floaters, like where they're not full-on layups. They're just kind of, you know, in the post, just a little – he's open and he just kind of, you know, throws it up there. And, yeah, they're – he just – it always rims out, too.
Yeah.
It's never – it's close. He's always close. It just never actually goes in. So, yeah, to me, it's just like a weird thing. I don't know. It's just – I don't really have any, like, explanation for it. It's just – some nights it goes in, some nights it doesn't. Like, game one, he had no issues.
Yeah.
Or he missed some free throws, but he is also just like a 70% shooter. But the touch, that's what's weird, is that it comes and goes. It's like everything with this Rockets teams where it's just, oh, tonight's the night that you make all the layups. Cool, thanks. You're going to go for 28 now. Same thing with Jalen Green where it's like, oh, tonight's the night you're going to make all your threes. All right, cool.
It adds up. And I think ultimately, if you're looking at this Rockets team and you're thinking that they're going to go into next year as currently constructed, I just think you're crazy.
Yeah, they would need to, they need to come back from this, I think.
I mean, I think even if they do come back from it, Sean, I think it's happening.
Well, the comeback, I'm just saying, like, the comeback would just mean that you get, like, four straight good Jalen Green games. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, he just, the conversation that we're having about these guys changes just, like, if they play better.
I don't know if it does. I think, ultimately, if you're being honest with yourself, and you think that this team is ever going to be capable of going all the way to the finish line, or even just make it to the NBA Finals, what they have right now ain't enough. This is the lowest tier. It's not like they're going up against Memphis, which does not belong in the playoffs. Some of these other teams, like the Bucks, do not belong.
Yeah, sorry.
The Heat do not belong. There's a bunch of teams in this round of the playoffs. Fred VanVleet's talking about there ain't no scrubs. No, there are. There's plenty of scrubs in the first round of the playoffs. You're not one of them, and this Warriors team isn't one of them. But, I mean, take a look at that team versus the Minnesota Timberwolves team that we just saw shoving LeBron all over the court. And I honestly feel like looking more mature, more experienced, there's another level. And again, it's going to take time for the Rockets to get there. So there's also a healthy level of patience that you have to have. But at the same time, I don't know how much better with the current group you're going to get. So this offseason, even if they are able to pull off this series, I still think you're looking at Jalen Green and you're thinking to yourself, we got to have somebody who can more consistently do this. Even if Green can become this guy someday, I just don't think it's happening next year or the year afterwards, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about all season, even like the last or the first two games of the series. Actually, you could even throw in – actually, you know what? Throw in the third one too. Mm-hmm. It's true for literally every game this season that when you look at Jalen Green's numbers, you're like, yeah, this is pretty good. Like 35% three-point shooter. That's good enough for, especially because he takes a lot of step backs, mm-hmm. 22 points per game. It's just that the way it gets distributed is that there's you go 3 for 15 in game one, and then you can't miss in game two.
Yep.
And then you can't really ever get going in game one. So it's like, well, if we could just get 22 points per game on 35% shots, just evenly spread out, like you just hit your average every game, like the Rockets probably up 2-1.
I think you're right, but at the same time, hey, take all the threes then. You know, this game, it felt timid relative to game two. And how do you not just keep doing what you did in game two? It felt like he was trying too hard to be the best teammate he could
be.
Yeah,
it was because the Warriors were, like, selling out more to stop him.
Sure.
And so he was just like, the right play is to do this. And then he did it. And, like, that, you know, some credit for actually doing that, but
maybe,
know, like,
it's not the right play.
Yeah, like we're talking about too. It's like, yeah, know who else was getting doubled?
Yeah,
Anthony Edwards. Sorry to keep comparing you guys to a team that made the West Finals last year.
But that's what you need.
Yeah,
you know, like, you it just like you need to have the great quarterback to get to the third round of the playoffs. You need to have the great closer. Yeah. You don't have it right now, and you're definitely window shopping right now. You're definitely on the apps, even though you're still in a relationship.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, listen. If Rafael Stone is not talking to Giannis's agent right now, like, what are we doing?
Come on, tamper. What are we doing?
That's just how the league it works, all right?
Like, yeah.
You just need to make him feel seen and let him know that he can play with his mentor,
mm-hmm.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Hey, we got plenty of Chick-fil-A's, plenty of Smoothie Kings.
So many good food establishments,
yeah,
Giannis.
Whatever you want.
Giannis, I know you like food.
Big house so you can move your giant family in.
That's true.
Both in size and like how big they are. Yeah, let's do it. Let's make it happen, Giannis.
Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. The Houston Texans put together their 2025 draft class over the weekend, and there was a theme to it. How much better are they after this draft class? That's up for debate. Stay put.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
713-780-3776 to call in, to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Over the weekend, the Houston Texans made a lot of picks in day two and day three of the NFL draft. The complete draft class, let's just give it to you in list form. 34th overall pick, second pick of round number two. They draft wide receiver Jaden Higgins from Iowa State. Many people believe he is very similar to Nico Collins. Later in the second round, the Texans drafted a tackle who athletically is a freak. I think he's 6'5", 331, but he's run a 40-yard dash in 5 seconds. How much do you do that as a lineman? Never. But Arionte Ursary, a tackle from Minnesota, is who they took round two. They also drafted another wide receiver from Iowa State, Jalen Noel, one of many Jalens that they drafted in this year's draft class. He's more of a slot receiver type. Drew Tank Dell comparisons. Jalen Smith, a corner from USC, was their last day two pick. They traded up to get him. Pick 97 overall. Take a look at those picks. What's the theme? Well, based off of what you heard from Nick Caserio after the draft, they like the programs that those guys play at. They believe that those programs are ones that make players who continue to develop and develop and develop. So when you're taking a guy that has Nico Collins comparisons at the top of the second round and Jaden Higgins, that's got to get you a little bit excited. Will he be that? I don't know. Probably not. Nico Collins is a top 10 wide receiver. You find that in pick number two of the second round. But he's a big guy. And they're looking at him, and they're looking at Jalen Noel the same way that they're looking at Xavier Hutchinson, who as a sixth-round pick has been a pretty damn good contributor for this Texans team. And they're thinking, hey, Iowa State wide receivers, we know what they are. We know the kind of coaching that they get. Matt Campbell's program at Iowa State is one that we like. So we're going to bring in guys from there. Arionte Ursary, who is a tackle from Minnesota. I guess there's some familiarity that the Texans have with PJ Fleck. And there's certainly a lot of familiarity with the Iowa State side of things, not just because of what Nick Caserio was saying about Matt Campbell, but apparently Matt Campbell and the Texans offensive coordinator Nick Cayley are boys, like going way back. Something that Landry Locker had pointed out. I think these are guys that grew up 10 minutes from each other or something like that. So, important things to note when it comes to why the Texans made some of the picks that they did in day two. For all the people who wanted wide receivers, you got plenty of wide receivers. And you did get at least one offensive lineman, though not necessarily enough. The other picks that they made, and I think the day three picks you always have to just take with a grain of salt, but they drafted another guy that they're familiar with. A USC guy. Woody Marks, a running back out of USC. So they get two USC guys. By the way, Jalen Smith, the corner they drafted, is apparently best friends with Kalen Bullock, a USC guy. They also drafted safety Jalen Reed. So three Jalens in one draft class from Penn State. Graham Mertz, quarterback from Florida in the sixth round, which some people are dumping on. It's a sixth round pick. guys. Oh, they should have gotten somebody else. Shut up.
Should have gotten Shadur.
Shadur Sanders.
Should have gotten Shadur in round five.
If they, well, they didn't have a fifth round pick. You know?
That's why they didn't do
right.
It.
Right. If he was available in the sixth round pick, okay. Then
you,
yeah,
Bill
you got to think about it.
Thank you, Bill Polian, talking about you would have drafted Tom Brady.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Would have, should have, could have. It is crazy how far Sanders fell. I will entertain the conspiracy theories because they're funny. It's crazy that he fell to round five. I have no idea how good he is. I know he's better than Jalen Milroe. I'm sorry, Jalen Milroe, but I don't really think of you as anything more than a gadget player. And I'm not going to act like I know that much about college football film. Like a lot of people out there who pat themselves on the back, oh, I study the film. I know where this person's value is. Sure, great, awesome. It's a crapshoot. It's all a crapshoot. But it's bizarre that Sanders fell that far. The other picks that they made, though, after Graham Ertz, it's a sixth round. Jesus, like, get a life. It's Saturday. Keontae Hamilton, a defensive tackle from Rutgers. They got him in the seventh round. They also got a tight end, Luke Lachey, a tight end. So basically all the positions that we were hoping that they would get somebody at, they did draft someone at just about all of those positions except for interior offensive line play. So one, theme of the draft, familiarity. They are going back to the watering hole that they have gone to before in drafting Iowa State players, in drafting a Big Ten offensive lineman in Arianti Ursary, because they know P.J. Fleck. They went back to the USC well as well. This is a team that clearly trusts a few programs around the sport of college football. And you can understand why Nick Caserio would do that, given that when he was in New England and Bill Belichick was running the show, there were some programs that Belichick would constantly go back to. The one in particular that I always thought was amusing that he would go back to was Rutgers under Greg Schiano. They would always get some random guy out of Rutgers, whether it was Devin McCourty or Logan Ryan, and they bring in Jason eventually. That was one of the things that New England always did. They like to go back to specific programs where they feel like the guys who played there were coached up to a degree that they would be able to handle at the next level. So that's why the Texans did what they did. Is it going to be right? Is it going to be wrong? Truly, I don't know. And most people that are making predictions and grading these draft picks, I think they're, you know, talking out of their ass. But I got no issues with the Texans draft class over the weekend. None. Because I trust Nick Caserio. I think the guy's done a pretty damn good job over the last couple of years. Has he been perfect? No. He's still better than most general managers. You at least have to admit that. Trying to tell me otherwise? Explain. Elaborate. 713-780-3776 to call into text in. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 281. Guys, we drafted tackle last year. Still got Howard and Patterson and Juice. Drafted tackle last year.
Blake Fisher
at Can't. See, that's not a good sign. That it took me a second. Like, wait, they did. Oh, yeah, they did. You're right, because he played at the end of the year. They have four tackles. I have no idea who's the starter. And that includes the guy in Cam Robinson, who they just gave $13, $14 million or so, you know?
It includes Titus Howard, who's maybe played good right tackle before.
He might be tackle. He also might be guard.
Yeah.
I don't know what he is. Tackle is going to be a really difficult competition. And for those who wanted the Texans to draft more offensive linemen, I'm just going to tell you this. Drafting offensive linemen, sure, you're going to bring in guys who theoretically have more upside than anywhere. But given this team's inability to coach the position over the years, and also the limitations of an NFL offseason where offensive linemen and players that hit one another basically aren't allowed to hit each other to the same degree that they need to so they can actually get good at the NFL level, you draft guys on the offensive line. Some of them might work out, but I would say more often than not, you're going to probably swing and miss at offensive linemen. Because it's just really difficult for offensive linemen to enter the league, especially considering what they're being taught in college versus what they're being taught at the NFL level are night and day. And then, of course, as you had last year, where with Chris Strausser, their offensive line coach, who had one foot out the door and was thinking about, I guess, retirement all season long, like, it's really tricky. Cole Popovich might be a good offensive line coach. He might be a bad one. We actually do not know. So do you really want to put the burden of whether or not the Texans offense takes a step forward this coming season on young offensive linemen, like, and just draft offensive linemen all draft long? Like, honestly, no, I don't want to do that, even if I don't like what the Texans have in their offensive line room right now. You know, that's the tricky spot. And that's one of the reasons that if I'm going to second guess anything, it's going back to some of the trades that were made, like a fourth round pick for Joe Tooney. Trading a draft pick for a Joe Tooney makes a lot more sense than, you know, swinging on guys in the draft bringing them in and hoping that they're actually going to be good. And maybe Urs Free is good, truly. I don't know. He's a huge dude, got a lot of athleticism. But right now, I don't think I look at one offensive line position for the Texans and say, I know who the starter is, and that includes Cam Robinson, that includes Titus Howard.
Yeah, yeah. And going back to, like, the practice thing, like, if you are drafting someone who needs to be developed, you're going to draft a lot of them. At a certain point, like, you can't just draft a offensive lineman at every draft pick because you can't coach them all. You can't have them all take enough reps to get better.
Yeah.
Like, that. It's the same thing with quarterbacks where, you know, you really only one quarterback gets a lot of reps. Normally, your starting quarterback is going to get 75-80% of the snaps.
You don't want your quarterback splitting reps, right? So yeah. It's one of those things.
And it's the same thing with if you have to work out, because we're talking about, what, like six different guys for these positions?
Yeah.
That for five positions, each of them probably has four guys competing for the job. So it's just a lot of bodies that you're going to have to sift through. And at a certain point, especially, like you said, once you get to day three, that's where, sure, just go nuts.
I'm glad
you picked up a running back just, again, to have a guy out there. You picked one up last year, Drawer Jordan.
And didn't even make the team.
Yeah, talking about how we forget about Blake Fisher already. It's like day three, guys. Like, we are definitely going to forget your name if you're not immediately on the team.
It's funny, and it's not like I saw a lot of this, but I saw enough of it where I'm thinking to myself, listen, a lot of these guys are just going to get cut.
Yeah,
you know?
second guessing day three picks. Just like,
it's like, get a life. Truly, get a life. Oh, they drafted a quarterback. Yeah, they did. They liked him.
Yeah, maybe Davis Mills leaves next year. Now, Graham Mertz, your backup quarterback.
The Graham Mertz. Now, as a Florida Gator fan,
What?
It wasn't the best.
They won some games at the end of the year. Was Graham Mertz playing for those games?
No, I honestly forgot. I forgot he was at the school.
I forgot that he was draft eligible. When I saw that he got drafted, I was like, oh, I guess he's in the draft.
We did have a comment on Shedeur Sanders from the 936. Shedeur did it to himself. He didn't throw at the combine or his pro day, despite only going 15-12, I think, in the Big 12. I think, wasn't it 13-12? He made it abundantly clear he was only interested in going to, like, two or three teams. His dad would get involved and be a problem if he didn't get drafted. Also, he only put up all right numbers and told every team, basically, I'm a prima donna and I will be a problem if you don't do things the way that I want them done. That's from Eric the Driver there. I mean, to a degree, it's part of it, but still, I mean, it's weird that so many players, you look the other way because of the talent, and for Shedeur Sanders, they didn't. And I mean, when you saw Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski on Zoom after the pick was made, and I had made this joke on Friday, like, does somebody watch the draft room to determine who's clapping and who's not clapping?
Yeah.
Stefanski and Andrew Berry, the head coach and GM of the Browns, after making that pick, looked like they had just found out a family member died. That's not a reach. They did not seem happy about that.
And there's not a smile.
Why would there be? Because they drafted Dylan Gabriel, and they have Shedeur Sanders. By the way, they also have Deshaun Watson and Joe Flacco, and they signed Kenny Pickett. So they got five quarterbacks now. Five. And Shedeur Sanders is going to think he's better than all of them, even if he's not. By the way, the Deshaun Watson situation, what a ridiculous situation that is just from the get-go. So, you got a five-quarterback room. The fact that the Browns looked so annoyed having to pick him does speak to me that there's still a mindset in the NFL, we do not want to take guys who aren't going to be good soldiers. And Sanders does not strike me as somebody who would be. Now he has to be, and we'll see how he handles that. He's better than a fifth-round pick. I think we all got to agree that he's better than a fifth-round pick. But as a backup quarterback, as you get further and further into the draft, worth the headache that a Colin Kaepernick gave you or a Tim Tebow gave you? No, because here's the thing. Both of those guys, when Kaepernick was blackballed by the league, Kaepernick wasn't good anymore. He was their backup quarterback. When Tebow was blackballed by the league, he wasn't good anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have a high-profile backup. Like, hell, would you have wanted to have Johnny Manziel for for the second go-round after he flamed out with the Browns? No, you don't want to deal with this crap. So it is funny, like, the amount of theories that are out there. And sure, there might have been an element of collusion among NFL teams who are saying, like, F this guy, you know? But generally people look the other way from horrible things to draft a player if they're talented enough. And that's probably what most people believe, is that he's just not as good as he thinks he is.
And especially like the way they draft NFL quarterbacks now is like you're looking for crazy athletic traits. You're looking for a crazy arm. You're looking for a crazy size, a big guy.
Yeah.
You're looking for a guy who can run. And Shedeur Sanders doesn't check any of those boxes. He's a good quarterback. He was a good college quarterback. But he just doesn't check those boxes that they look for in the NFL. That's why, like, Tyler Shuck is going above Will Howard by 5 rounds. Like, these guys that were in the playoffs, like, Riley Leonard, Quinn Ewers, and Will Howard, all playoff quarterbacks.
Yep.
All went in, what, day 3? 5th or later?
Yeah.
It's because what makes a good college quarterback, like, they're in college, they're just trying to win games. They're not trying to develop guys for the next level. The best players in college aren't going to be the best NFL players. Pat Mahomes, great example.
Yep.
You have Pat Mahomes on your team in the NFL, you're just in the Super Bowl. That wasn't the case at Texas Tech. I think that with Shedeur Sanders, they did the math of, like, this guy just doesn't have the, like, NFL talent to have this attitude towards the interview stories that I've heard, like, after the draft, where he was like he still had headphones around his neck playing music during the interview.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what, I probably wouldn't draft this guy either if you can't even pretend to give a during the interview. Like, I'm sorry, how am I gonna know that when I draft you, you're then gonna start caring? That's just interviewing. That's just like when you interview for a job, you just don't do that. It's crazy.
Thought he was way better than he was. And look, he could still have a successful career.
Yeah, he could just be awesome. That's all he needs to do is be good at football.
Here's what sucks. He's in Cleveland. That's what sucks.
Step one, beat Dylan Gabriel in the competition.
Yeah.
Even though the coaches obviously like Dylan Gabriel and this front office, considering they drafted him 2 rounds before you.
I wonder how that's going to go, though, because remember that Browns took their sweet time benching Deshaun Watson.
Well, he has a torn Achilles, so like he's
right. That's what I mean. Like they didn't. They could have benched him, and then his Achilles exploded, and then they benched him.
Also, they have Joe Flacco, who like they obviously love.
It's gonna be what a room.
I can't wait for the Cleveland sports radio callers, the war that happens between the Flacco guys and the Shedeur guys.
Oh, man.
The guy, whoever's playing, they're going to either call for Flacco or they're going to call for Shedeur.
Or Dylan Gabriel. I mean, no, there's so
there's
many
not
going to
be a Dylan Gabriel hive.
You don't think so?
I think it'll all be either your Shedeur guy or a Flacco guy.
That is Sean Mays behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around. But first, let me tell you about my friends at Rize Health, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. Rize Health. What do? Well, listen, there's a lot of things that they do. Maybe you got the receding hairline or something like that. And that's something I've used Rize for before. But guess what? Now they got more. You want to reignite the spark in the bedroom? Well, Rize Max, this incredible new product that they've got, is a rapid enhanced dissolving strip. It combines tadalafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for superior sexual performance. You put it under your tongue. You don't have to drink water. It's not a pill. You don't have to have a full stomach. It doesn't take a while to absorb. Like, no, just under your mouth in a discreet little package that looks a lot like, you know, the other things that you might be wrapping up in a package and putting in your pocket. The size of that, put it under your tongue. Whoop. Rize Health. RizeHealth.com. RIIZE. The rapid enhanced dissolving strips. You could go to RizeHealth.com. RIIZEHealth.com. You enter promo code 975 and you're going to get 25% off your first order. You got to try these bad boys out. What do you have to lose? What's the shame? You get to talk to a doctor online, anonymously, essentially, and then boom, literally. So you go to Rize Health, R-I-I-Z-E health.com. You enter promo code 975. Rise up today.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why MyLowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.